Welcome to Dome Patrol Premier League.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
Wankers. Fucking embarrassing. Wasting my time. Fucking wasting my time.
Hello and welcome to the Premier League podcast brought to you by the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network, where you can get all of your favourite Dome Patrol podcasts in one place, free of charge. These include the original Dome Patrol podcast, BS and Beer with Dave Romero, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, The Pelican Plunge and The Tiger's Den. I think that's all of them. Have I missed any?
No, I think that's all of them, but I think what we're going to do is we're going to bring all some of those podcasts together, like the Pelican Plunge, the Taking the Over, this one, and the main show. I think we should just create a separate group, and all the advertising money that we get in during this podcast, just share it amongst those podcasts. That's what I think going forward, what the Dome Patrol should do. Yeah. Oh, we're recording that one.
Well, yeah, it's okay. Well, I was going to start it by saying it's been a while since we dropped a Premier League podcast, but then it isn't like there's been anything for us to talk about recently, is there?
No.
So as you will all know, listeners, now you'll know by now that there are six clubs from the Premier League who have caused a massive rift, not only in English football, but European football too. So Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, Spurs, Arsenal, and I'm very sad to say Man United have announced plans for a European Super League along with Real Madrid, Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, Juventus and AC and Inter Milan that, for all intents and purposes, replace the Champions League. This has been met with widespread condemnation from all over the football community, UEFA, FIFA, everywhere. The British government have been getting involved today. And what it's led to is some really passionate defences of football, the pyramid structure here in England, as it currently stands. So here to discuss this with me, as always, is Arsenal fan and Arsenal season ticket holder, Ben. Ben, how are you?
As you probably tell, pretty fucked off of it all, to be fair, James. I feel like this is just a step too far, and unfortunately, it's a grim day for the sport that we all love. And unfortunately, this has happened. It might not be the final outcome, but they've gone too far to go back now.
Okay, we'll come on to that in a minute. Also this week, we have a very special guest joining us from fellow Dome Patrol United podcast network show, Taking the Over. And to give us a bit of a US perspective on this shit show, it's Billy Gunn. Gunn, thanks for joining us and welcome to the show.
Hey, James and Ben, I'm glad to be here. Very excited. I know we were talking about this in our chat yesterday as it was going down. And yeah, I'm a passionate supporter of European soccer, as I think I've had both Ben and James on my show in the past, and we've talked about my appreciation for European soccer, how obviously it's better than what the product we have over here in North America. And I have found, as is standard case, when anything European soccer comes up, a lot of Americans, they don't really even have the context to understand how big of a deal this is. But you know, those of us that do follow European soccer pretty closely, I mean, it's just egregious. It's unbelievable. It's a really, as someone, I have a odd fascination with the intersection of sport and business. You know, I enjoy sport and business and sport and media almost as much as I do what happens on the field. And this is amazing what's happening right now, you know. So we're going to get into it. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
No, it's good. It's good to have you on and return the favor from, like you said, me and Ben coming onto your show. So, right, I think the best place to start is with the one person here who has a season ticket at one of the clubs that are trying to break away into this European Super League. So, Ben, as an Arsenal fan and as a season ticket holder, give me your thoughts. on this, what it means for you and your season ticket moving forward, if it goes ahead. Yeah, just your general kind of feeling on what's occurring and where you think it's going to go.
It's disgusting how this has taken place. I think as all fans of the Big Six, I know it's our clubs that are in there, but we don't deserve to be in there on current merit. But I don't think any club really wants to be in there. As a season ticket holder, the reason I got a season ticket is because I love going up and watching us play against other English teams, fighting for that right to be able to play in European competitions. So that one day you will see the likes of Barcelona or Real Madrid, Juventus, Bayern Munich or PSG. You will have one of those big clubs from another league come to your ground, or you'll get the chance to go on a European road trip and go and visit a city you've never been to in Europe and watch your team play there.
As a one-off.
Not every year, because that's just what stagnates it. It makes it pointless. The way they're talking about it now, it just means, what's the point of me going up to watch a Premier League game? Why? If Arsenal do poor in a Premier League game, what does it matter? They're going to get so much money. I think it's about 300, is it 300 million they're going to get for this European Super League? What's the point?
Just for signing the contract and yeah. saying they're going to do it, it's 300 million, yeah.
And isn't it the total prize money for winning the Premier League is 150 million, isn't it? Around about that?
I think Liverpool made 150 million last year.
Yeah. So it's double, just for being in the competition, it's double the money. So what's the point of me going up there on a weekend to watch Arsenal play Burnley when I actually know this is no real impact? The main game's midweek against Bayern Munich. Well, with Bayern Munich joining it, they're not at the moment, but you know. If the main game's against Real Madrid, what's the point of me going up there and watching Arsenal probably put a reserve team out against Burnley to then go and lose and go, well, it doesn't matter that game at all. We've got what we want. No injuries for our first team players to go ahead and play in the Super League. It all comes down, for Arsenal's point of view, is Stan Kroenke, American owner who took sole ownership of the club in about 2011. And this American fans might not get the history behind clubs and how they were formed and owned in the UK. You know, it was working class people that built these clubs. Brief history on Arsenal, don't bore people. Arsenal was built from factory workers in an armory that built weapons. Hence, they're called the Arsenal. You know,
the
nickname the Gunners because of that. And then fans who came to the game brought shares in ownership. So it was a fan-owned, a bit like the Green Bay Packers, that's what you say. It's a fan-owned club. And then slowly and surely, these American billionaires have come in, brought shares up to then do a whole takeover. And I hate to say it, leading drivers behind this are the likes of Barcelona and Real Madrid due to their financial issues. I think the pandemic has sped this Super League up. But the American owners want to have an American-style league in Europe because Robert Kraft looked at buying, you know, owner of the Patriots, he looked at buying a Premier League team and they said, well, are you going to buy one? He goes, absolutely not. Why would I buy a team where I have a threat of relegation? It's gambling, he said. Why would I do it? It's absolutely disgusting. I hate it. I'm embarrassed to be an Arsenal fan. If it goes ahead, I will be handing in my season ticket.
That was the question I was going to ask you, is if it goes ahead, would that be the end of your season ticket?
Yeah, me and my mates who we sit with, we said, we're all going to group chat and we've just said, yeah, this has gone too far now.
Yeah. Okay, so Gunn, Ben raised an interesting point there. You know, three of the clubs that are involved from England are owned by Americans. So that's Liverpool, owned by FSG, which own the Red Sox. So it's John Henry and people like that. Man United are owned by the Glazers, who own the Buccaneers. And then obviously Ben's team, Arsenal, are owned by Stan Kroenke, who owns the Rams and a basketball team.
And the Nuggets.
The Nuggets, that's it. So there has been a lot of talk in this country over the past couple of days that the American owners can't get their head round or don't understand this relegation concept. Do you see this? Yeah. So do you see this as an attempt to kind of make it a bit more like the NFL and the NBA, where it's a closed shop, where you just have the same teams every year and there's no chance, unless you expand and get expansion teams, of adding more teams to it?
You know, one of the things that initially drew my attention to European soccer was the concept of relegation. I thought it was fascinating. I thought it was something that made the league that much more interesting to watch, that much more exciting to watch, watching teams at the top and watching teams at the bottom, qualifying for Champions League, trying to avoid relegation, and then the teams in the lower leagues moving up and teams in the upper leagues moving down. It's fair to say that a lot of Americans don't understand that. I can, you know, the point that you made about Bob Kraft makes sense, and that why would I purchase a team that could eventually be relegated? Although it's so, I mean, it would be so rare to see one of these big six clubs get relegated. Do they want, I just think it's about money. And I read an article on ESPN yesterday was saying that these clubs, all 12 clubs, really failed to take the temperature of the room. You know, they really, I mean, this is like one of the greatest examples of not knowing what the actual
temperature. It's because they don't care.
I don't think they care. I don't think it's about money. And, you know, I think tied up in the emotion of all this, I mean, three of the six English clubs are owned by Americans. You know, City is owned by Abu Dhabi. United is owned
the Glazers.
That's, well, they're one of the Americans. So, I mean, there's just, I think in times of trauma, times in conflict, times of this kind of chaos, a lot of times we look for a boogeyman. We're looking for somewhere to place the blame. When you've got this kind of anger and this kind of hurt, you're looking for somewhere to place the blame. And I don't think the blame falls with any three owners, any six owners. I mean, all 12 clubs that are involved in this shoulder the burden. And I think they're going to pay for it. I think it's going to be, I know we're going to talk about, you know, how we think this is going to end up later, but no one's coming out of this clean, no matter what. Right. And then the other part of it too, and we alluded to this earlier, I think if more so than anything, this is a Florentino Perez, who's the chairman of Real Madrid, who's also going to be the chairman of this league. And they, I think, stand to benefit the most financially, from a position of where they are financially vulnerable now to where this will put them. And as we've seen already today in the news, because it's such a fascinating story that news is breaking almost every hour, reactions, pundits, coaches, managers, team boards, executives, other clubs and other leagues are all making statements. So there's breaking news almost on the hour with this developing story. And one of the, like we alluded to earlier, one of the things that came out today was there's already been some cracks in the foundation. You know, all 12 of these teams aren't going to hold the line. Of the six English teams, I think one or two are already starting to chatter about backing out of this. And Perez from Madrid and the chairman of this new league, he's already doing that deal where we've got a contract. We've got a binding contract here. You know, I mean, we're less than 72 hours into this, and the chairman of the whole operation is already having to rattle the saber against the concept of teams backing out. So that's not a good sign for the long-term health and validity of this thing.
No, not at all. What kind of has been buried in this news is that the Champions League announced their reforms for their competition.
Right. Yeah, I was watching the coverage yesterday on NBC Sport. They were utilizing Sky Sport, and they said two big stories in the world of soccer today, the Super League and Jose Mourinho's firing. And it's like, what about the Champions League announcing a complete overhaul to their format? That's not a story.
Yeah, I mean, Tottenham chose a great, changing the subject slightly, Tottenham chose a great day to bury sacking their manager, didn't they? They day possible to sack him. But you know, they're retort. You know, there's been reports that, you know, Ed Woodward, who is the one of the people involved at Manchester United, who is not popular at all among the fan base, that as late as Thursday last week, he confirmed to UEFA that United were happy with the reform proposals. Now, obviously, if you're being interviewed for a job elsewhere, you're not going to tell your current manager that you're being interviewed for a job elsewhere, are you? But he said he was happy with the reforms that were going to be announced next week. But then the day before, he's part of a group that completely blow that out of the water and want to leave.
Yeah, it's like Vinay Venkatesham, the Arsenal chief executive, he got put on a position of board of the ECA 21st of March. And then he's resigned. So, like, I think, why are you taking that position 21st of March, and then suddenly, but in the background, you are planning to take away everything? Unless, was it just the owners that were involved in this, and, you know, the players and the managers all saying they had no idea this was going on? Was it just the owners, or were people like Ed Woodward involved and stuff like that, or was it just secretly the Glazers, the Kroenkes, the Abramovich, all these people, Perez, were they all just keeping it between, like, all 12 of them, 12 individuals just talking about it?
Yeah, they've been talking about this for ages.
For years.
Yeah.
For years.
Absolutely ages.
Arsene Wenger predicted it years ago.
Yeah. I mean, Gunn, you brought up Florentino Perez, the Real Madrid chairman, who is going to be the chairman of this new league. You know, Real Madrid are crippled financially at the moment, as you alluded to. They had to sell their city centre training ground 8-9 years ago to the local government so they could actually, you know, survive for another couple of years until the next Champions League deal came in. They've completely rebuilt their stadium pretty much during this pandemic. They're playing their games at their training ground, and they have done all season. You know, so this is his way of getting Real Madrid back to the top end of the table. You know, there was the story a couple of weeks ago where Mino Raiola and Erling Haaland's dad were traveling around Spain, seeing Barcelona and Real Madrid about the potential transfer of him from Borussia Dortmund in the summer. And that should have started ringing alarm bells. It's like, Real Madrid have got no money, so how can they even be involved in the conversations to buy a player who's going to be sold for about £150 million this summer? So maybe that should have rung some alarm bells with some people that something was going on.
But do you know what's caused? I've got a bit of a bee in my bonnet about what's caused Real Madrid and Barcelona to fall behind and to outspend their resources is the Premier League. And the influx of cash that came into the Premier League. And if they wanted to compete with those teams in Europe, in the Premier League, in the European competitions, they had to put lots of money that they didn't have into their squad. Also, something like PSG came along, and, you know, that's a whole state paying for their team. They spent like £200 million on Neymar. That's ridiculous. That's double the record transfer fee for a player ever. How are you supposed to compete with that? And it's very interesting seeing the coverage of all of this on Sky Sports and people like that, who are, yes, I agree, completely dead against it. And they are proper banging the drum, dead against it. You know the reason why they're dead against it? It's because they can't afford the broadcasting rights.
Well,
and there's a very, very important point, I think, that's happened as a result and during this pandemic, is these teams have seen that that television contracts alone, speaking, I guess, specifically to the Premier League, can keep them viable. You know, how important they're learning, we're seeing a decreased importance on revenue from ticket sales and butts in the seats versus what they're able to do just with this television revenue alone. And that's, you know, as you start to look forward, if this Super League were to become a reality, and Ben, I think you and I are going to disagree on this. I don't I don't think it's ever going to come to be. I think this thing's going to fall apart within 30 to 60 days. But should it come to be, and you guys know way better than I do, and I would put this question to you, are they going to be able to sell out the grounds? Is Arsenal going to be able to sell out their stadium? Is Man United going to be able to sell out the stadium? Hell, my beloved city, they couldn't sell out their stadium before. So, they're not even part of the conversation. But they're not – I mean, are they even going to be able to sell out their stadiums? B, is it going to matter? Because this is probably more than anything, as you've explained earlier very, very well, Ben, this takes the fun out of those one-off trips to Barcelona or the one-off trips to, you know, Munich, Germany. So is this thing strictly going to be motivated by television? Then does it have to be?
Yes. I think what this leads to from a television point of view is the clubs are going to have control over their own product, which they currently don't have. I mean, look, Man United have got their own channel. You have to pay for it, but it's on Sky. You can subscribe to MUTV. The Glazers stated when they took over, they wanted to get to a point where they could control their own TV rights and charge people to watch United games. You know, I mean, rumours have it that United have a fan base around the world, somewhere in the region of 300 to 400 million fans, right? How many of those have got a smartphone?
Right.
A lot, yeah?
Right.
United charge £1 a game or $1 a game, whatever you want to call it, and 200 million people watch the game on their smartphone. That's an insane amount of money that they can make by controlling their own TV rights.
That's where my mind immediately went yesterday as I was processing all this. So it you know, when you see the supporters groups all unanimously come out against it, and I was trying to explain to people, the fans of the clubs that stand to benefit are coming out against this. What does that tell you? That tells you that this is rotten to the core. But I'll invent a term here: traditional fan versus non-traditional fan. Okay, so I would say let's say that you guys, as domestic UK, you're a traditional fan, original market, original fan base, versus a non-traditional fan who could be somebody like me. Let's say I was a lesser educated soccer fan, because I've seen Americans go, this is a great idea, who have no concept of anything. Oh, this is a great idea. Well, look, slamming my dick in the door is a great idea if I don't take into account math and science. You know what I mean? Like, there's context. There's always context involved before something's a great idea or it's not. But, I mean, a 12-year-old in Singapore watching on their smartphone, you know, a 22-year-old in China watching on their smartphone, that's really all the audience they need, right? We could have just some dumb hillbilly American fan that goes, hey, it's kind of like the NFL now. And if they pony up and pay up or tune in, that's all that matters. Yeah. So the 50,000 people that were going to fill the ground, the foundational fan base of 250,000 people in a London suburb or in a Manchester suburb don't mean as much. Well, and not that they should mean more, but you see, I mean, my brain immediately went to, this could be viable because of the popularity of international soccer in emerging markets.
Yeah. So this is it worldwide. Most popular clubs worldwide. Number one, Real Madrid. Two, Barcelona. Three, Man United. Four, Juventus. Five, Chelsea. Six, Liverpool. Seven, PSG. Eight, Bayern Munich. Nine, Manchester City. 10, Arsenal. All those founding clubs. It's not to do with how good they are at the moment and stuff like that, how many titles they're currently winning. It's to do with their popularity and where the fan base is. This is why I am petrified long term. I'm not talking like 2 years after the European Super League's been created. By the way, it's not called the European Super League. It's only European clubs at the moment. It's currently just all the statements say Super League. They don't say European Super League. So I'm a bit skeptical there. So let's just, for example, let's just say Stan Kroenke goes, I'm sharing a London a London fan base with two other clubs, Chelsea and Tottenham, and that's a lot of my revenue I'm splitting. What a great idea! Let's move the club to New York, Manchester. Okay, they're owned by Dubai, the Manchester City are owned by, is it Abu Dhabi or Dubai?
Abu Dhabi.
And they go, God, Man United, huge popular club, massive history around this local area. Taking
move on to Beijing.
No, yeah.
They
let's move them to Abu Dhabi.
They can move to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why it's not called the European Super League. It's just got European clubs in. People forgetting that. And I can see that in 20 years' time, something like that happening. Yeah. Italy.
Gunn, you made a good point there. And on the fans and, you know, traditional fans and non-traditional fans, there was a statement yesterday where somebody came out and said that the big six in the UK, this isn't being aimed at what they called legacy fans. So that would be me and Ben, legacy fans for years. This is being aimed at new emerging fans. You know,
You're
looking at your 10 to 15 year olds in China now to get them invested in this Super League. So in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, these clubs are supported by billions of people.
Right. It's just a memory. The traditional fans are just a memory at that point.
Yeah. I mean, I said when you were talking that you know, the traditional match-going fans, so people who pay their money week in, week out to go, are almost irrelevant in this scenario because they're going to make their money whether they're sat in their seat in the stadium or not.
Right.
I'm irrelevant now to my club. They don't give a toss about me.
No, they don't. That's sad.
They haven't given a toss. I spent 9 years, and UEFA are sitting on their high horse as well. They can fuck off because they fed this beast as well, and they're the ones trying to. Yeah, they can fuck off. And so can FIFA. They're both corrupt as each other, the fucking bunch of bastards. But this is what happens. I've been an Arsenal fan honestly all my life. Season ticket waiting list for 9 years, dreaming. Do you know what would be great if I can follow a season? We're in Europe and then we get to see Arsenal get all the way to a European Cup final. Champions League, Europa League, don't care. It's Europe. It's special. We get to my first year of being a season ticket holder. We get to the Europa League final. Where is it played? Fucking Baku.
Azerbaijan.
And then you find out the airport in Baku is so small. It only has a certain number of flights coming in a day. And this is when I found, this is when I was like, you know what? Fans aren't welcome to this because there was no flights going from London. You had to fly via all around Europe, getting like three or four connecting flights to get into Baku. I think me and my mate looked at it and the best way we could get into Baku is to get flights to Holland, then Holland to Georgia, and then get an overnight train from Georgia into Baku. And I think it would have cost us £1,200 just for transport. And it would have taken 28 hours to get there.
You're very brave for considering even traveling to a place called Baku. That sounds like a planet on the Mandalorians.
It does. But
it looks like one.
the thing is, though, is that European final was contested between two English teams.
The reason it was there,
teams and their fans had to travel from England 6 hours to play a game in this stadium in Baku.
Do you know how big that Baku stadium was?
And how many something like that?
Miles. Hang on, let me just get it up quickly. 65,000 in that Baku stadium. Do you know how many tickets each club got given?
4,000, something like that.
4,000.
Yeah, 4,000.
Wow. Because they didn't want us there. They didn't want the legacy fans going to it because they wanted to test a new market. So UEFA, fuck off your high horse. You started this bullshit. Sorry, it's really that was when I realized it was going away. It was going away from us. Yeah. You know, qualifying for the Champions League means more than winning the FA Cup these days. And it's horrible.
And that's because of the money.
Exactly. And what's European Super League? Sorry, Super League all about?
Money.
Money.
Money. Yeah.
Fucking money.
Okay. So, right then. So, Ben, you said you think this is going to happen. Gunn, I think I'm with you. I don't think this is going to happen. There's too much objection to it. So, Ben, why do you think it's going to happen?
I don't think it's going to happen in the way they're saying it's going to happen now. I think you're going to get a different version of it. You know, I think this is all negotiations to start off with, but this is what they want and they will get it. Premier League will come around saying, we'll kick these six clubs out, so UEFA. You're kicking your biggest clubs, your biggest pool out of your competitions when the broadcaster will turn around and say, well, I'm not paying for that anymore because your six biggest teams aren't there. That's not going to happen. The clubs are in an incredible position right now. And I don't think they regret making a decision at all. But I think it will happen. I think it's been talked about for ages. They would have had JP Morgan wouldn't finance this if this wasn't going to happen. Serious things. They must have looked into this seriously. Do you remember Project Restart? Project Big Picture, James. Do you remember that a couple of months ago? All about COVID. That was a dry run. That was a dry run to see what the reaction would be like for the Super League. And it was terrible. But guess what? They don't care. They still went ahead and done and announced this Super League.
Okay. So going on the flip side of that, what are your reasons and thinking for it not going ahead?
Like I mentioned earlier, it's so clear that they failed to take the temperature of the room, right? And you know, the headlines that I saw just before joining you guys today. Bayern Munich has come out and said they're not going to participate. PSG has come out and said they're not going to participate. You've already got rumors of one or two Premier League clubs already wanting to renege on this thing less than 72 hours after its announcement. The damage is too much. I mean, I'm also an optimist. I think... I think the best thing that can happen at this point is for this to fail and just it gets scuttled in the next 60 to 90 days. I really hope that's what's going to happen here. But I don't know. I mean, as we've been having this conversation today and just sorting through and doing the math and kind of rationalizing it out in your head about the traditional, like, I mean, as Ben very well said it earlier, it doesn't matter. Like, he doesn't matter. As a season ticket holder, when Ben came on my show and told me that story about collecting birthday money and getting on the season ticket holder list as a child, where you're like 12 years old or something.
Yeah.
That was fucking incredible. Like that is sport. That is fandom. That is like the epitome. Like that's like a Disney movie, you know? And we don't have, there's a purity to that. And clearly we're losing that purity. We're losing that innocence as the greed takes over. I want to believe it's not going to happen. I got to think it's not going to happen. I think that the players are going to have to step up. Yeah. You've seen managers. I mean, Jurgen Klopp was in such a difficult position yesterday when Jurgen Klopp was interviewed prior to Liverpool Leeds, you know, and as you mentioned earlier, James, Pep Guardiola came out today and was a little more direct. You know, Jurgen really had to tap dance yesterday as the manager of a club that is due to go into this league. He really had to do some gymnastics yesterday. Pep was a little more direct today. I think it's going to come down to the players. And I think that you're going to see the players side with the fan. I have to believe that the players are going to side with the fans. It sounds like FIFA or UEFA and all continental governing or national or international governing bodies are going to come together and say these players are not eligible for international play, and that's significant still to a lot of people. That's significant. I have to believe that there's enough people holding the line, you know, and I have to believe that there's already some teams that are willing to cut rank that have already committed to this. And the fact that Perez is rattling the saber and he's already having to threaten, we're less than 72 hours into this and he's already having to make statements about holding original 12 teams to their contract before the ink is even dry.
Yeah.
I work with contracts and deals in my day job. If I have to start before a document's even finished being signed, if I have to worry about the validity of that contract or of that deal holding up, it's not going to hold up. Mm, that just doesn't happen that way.
I do wonder why PSG haven't come into the Super League. I do wonder that. I know why Bayern Munich haven't come in.
There is talk that PSG weren't actually invited.
I've heard that as well. But the reason, probably because Paris hated them.
The reason
the Germans, they're half owned by the fans.
They're half owned by the fans. This 50.
That's in German law.
Yeah.
To stop this sort of thing happening.
Yeah. Gunn, I don't know if you know this. In like Ben says, in German law, 51% of German football clubs has to be owned by the fans.
Okay. So, yeah. So, like Red Bull Salzburg came out and said they're not going in either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But 51% of that is owned by the fans. Leipzig fan. Yeah,
exactly. Leipzig, yeah, not Salzburg. Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, I'm glad to hear that, you know.
And that's the way I think Arsenal were till 2012. I think we had 70%, but I think as soon as it became, yeah, I publicly think we had...
listed. As soon as you were listed on the stock exchange, anybody can buy your shares.
Yeah. And then people, these big owners come and buy all your shares up and then get enough where they don't, you know, a sale is forced. You can't to become the majority.
Yeah.
It's so sad. The government as well are trying to get involved as well. I see that quite, but I'm very, very skeptical about the government getting involved. They're not getting involved for the good of the game. They're getting involved because...
Point scoring.
A, it's point scoring, but B, it's also why would they want to share the revenue when the Premier League is the most attractive market in the world, potentially one of the most attractive sports leagues in the world, and you've got tourists coming all around the world to see the Premier League. Why do they want to share that out with the rest of Europe? That's the reason the government got involved.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I take the government getting involved, you know, meh. They're saying they'll block it. I don't agree. It's disgusting. It really is. And yeah, I just don't know really what to say about it anymore, to be fair. It's just really, I woke up on Monday and I just had that anxiety, sick feeling where, you know, when like you lose a derby and you wake up next morning and you go, oh, I can't believe that just happened. Like, I felt like that. And I still, every time I just look at my phone now, I just look at it and go, oh, Jesus Christ, like, what have we done?
This might sound dramatic, right? But football at the top level changed on Sunday.
Massively.
You know, I mean, it changed. I mean, look, Ben, you've got your local team that you go and watch every now and again, haven't you? Horsham. You know, my hometown team, who are the team that I've watched the most throughout my life, thousands of bloody games I've been to watch. They're playing in an hour's time, and if they win, they're pretty much nailed on to get promoted into League One. You know, I think it's time for people to start focusing on that level of football.
100%. But look what happened. So Cheltenham League Two at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay. Look at Bournemouth. Bournemouth were League Two on the brink of going out of business. Weren't bought by anyone wealthy. Just was well managed, well run, had a good squad, managed to get a good group of players, good coaching. And within 10 years, they made it all the way to the Premier League. Okay, they've been relegated now, but they're still on the cusp of might be going back to the Premier League. Sensational story.
On this point then, on that point, so I'm going to take Bournemouth and Sheffield United from recent seasons, okay?
Yeah.
Both did really well coming out of the Championship. What ruined and caused their relegation?
Overspending.
Having money to spend and not spending it the right way. So they're not used to having money. And then they got all this money and didn't buy the right players or weren't used to buying the right players and got relegated. I mean, Sheffield United last year finished, what, seventh or eighth?
But when it works well...
They spent a load of money and then they've been relegated this year. One of the worst Premier League teams of all time.
Yeah. And Leicester, League One, not too many years ago. Didn't spend much, got up, didn't spend that much, but then won the Premier League. And how did they sustain that? They didn't go out and spending and trying to buy all the big players. They had a model, stuck with it. And it's a project that fans can get behind and just go, I can see where we're going in 2 years' time. Not now. You'd be like, oh, it's just year after year. Any team can win it. It's not like the NFL or the NBA where there's a draft model when you can go, well, we're crap this year and we'll get some good young players in through the draft and we'll rebuild. So you can see the long-term project in that way. Where with this Super League, oh, I've just got... We've been crap. Let's get a new manager and spend $300 million this summer on players. Like, just keep doing that, keep doing that, keep doing that. Keep charging the fans because the fans are going to keep coming in for it. And yeah, it's just wrong.
Yeah. I think that's the best way to describe it, isn't it?
Mm.
Anybody got anything else they want to add to this?
Yeah, you know, again, from a U.S. perspective, one of the things that, and you know, James, you mentioned waking up and not feeling well on Monday. I was really, really upset about this yesterday. You know, as the news, it was announced on Sunday, and then as the news kept coming in on Monday, I was upset. And then I kind of came upset at the reaction of other Americans. Like, you know, you saw people on, look at the worlds that we move around in online, Saints Twitter, Pelicans Twitter. It was like a joke. Oh, something's happened. You know, they're making like these memes and jokes about what's going on with European soccer. And it's like, you know, guys, and I was trying to explain it to some of our friends. It's like, if we just pick six NFL teams and said, oh, they're not going to have a salary cap, you know, yeah, but everybody else is, and they're going to participate in this other competition that happens on Wednesdays, and they're going to also do this on Sundays, but don't worry, like Drew Brees and Mike Thomas aren't going to be playing on Sundays. And that, I almost feel like we should have a whole nother pod that's dedicated once we know for sure this thing is going through, that just breaks down the mechanics of it, you know, but, it was just like this aloof, like this joke, like this aloofness. And it's like, you know, all these super woke ass people, like they thought it was funny, but people like you guys, like y'all, it was fucked up. It'll fuck up your world. If like the Saints move, when the Saints are about to move to San Antonio in the middle of Katrina aftermath, dude, that was torment to us as Saints fans. We had already been so beaten down and lost everything in the storm. And then it's like our team was going to go. Sport and teams and fandom is so important. It is so important. The metaphor and allegory of sport, what it can teach us about life, the unifying pieces of sport. And, you know, it's just people are so fucking casual about, oh, I don't know or understand that enough, so it's okay for me to mock it, you know? And it's like, bro, if I mocked a tenth of the shit that some of these people care about, they would be fucking melting, you know? So it's like, I don't know, man. Anger, right? Because when something like this happens, we look for a boogeyman and we look for somewhere to place the anger. And Ben, I don't think it's the three U.S. owned clubs.
No. It's not just them. I'm not solely putting the blame on them.
Yeah.
But I think they are a very big driving force. I don't think Stan Kroenke would have got involved with Arsenal if this wasn't the end goal at the end.
Look at the teams. We'll use Bayern Munich and PSG as examples. Both of those teams are in no real danger of not qualifying for Champions League year in, year out, right?
Yep.
And both of those teams are not having any kind of real financial problems. You know, I mean, Bayern Munich's not as strong as they were 5-10 years ago, but, and then look at the teams that are, look, like three of the six Premier League teams may not even qualify for Champions League.
That we are might not even qualify thing. For Europa League. We might not even be in a European competition next year.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. So it's
English teams are definitely likely to miss European football next season through league qualification, and that's Arsenal. Right.
We've already discussed Barcelona and Real Madrid and where they're lacking, what their future looks like. So I mean, the motivations are so transparent.
We've got a European semi-final coming up
next week.
Yeah. And it's just been the whole time, the whole season after we knew our Premier League campaign was done, dusted in December. It was the whole thing going, right, the only way into Europe is by winning the Europa League now. we've got to win this Europa League. And it just, the whole season went on to that. It was like, right, well, come on, let's focus, let's dream. And now
I got a gambling tip for you guys. Breaking gambling tip, because I was actually checking out. I was reading the headline of what team, you know, UEFA is going to allow the teams to continue to participate in the semifinals next week. So yeah. I looked at, and it, what one is Chelsea and is it Real Madrid?
Chelsea, Real Madrid, yeah.
And then the other is City and PSG. Okay, so on one half of the bracket, two teams that are both in, don't even worry about that one. My beloved Manchester City, who are a participant in this Super League, versus PSG, who have said they're not. Who do you think is going to get some calls in that game?
So this is exactly what I was going to say.
It's going to be.
UEFA referees.
UEFA referees and a UEFA game. There's only one team that's not participating in this thing next year, and they're, you know, against three. Yeah. Man, I think I want to find a prop for PSG to win this thing outright.
Yeah,
and get it down here soon.
On that point, the competition, so the UEFA Cup, which is, or the Europa League as it's called now, which is what Man United and Arsenal are in, they're on opposite sides of the bracket, and they're playing two teams, Roma, United playing Roma, and Arsenal are playing Villarreal, who aren't also in the... So I think you're right. I think PSG are definitely going to be in the Champions League final, and I don't think there's any way that United or Arsenal are going to get into the Europa League final.
You've got to play a clean ass game over two legs.
There's going to be a classic example of officiating bias.
There's going to be a Bill Vinovich in both of those games.
I don't care about this semi-final anymore, because the whole thing about the semi-final was, are we going to get into Europe next year? We need to win this competition to get into Europe next year. This is our season on this game. Now we don't need to. Ah, fuck it, lose it. We've got 300 million coming in the summer. What's the point of it? What is the point of it? It's completely bollocks.
And the other thing too, Ben, that 300 million, I mean, the other thing that too that's crazy about this is the disproportionate disbursement of funds within the original founding teams. At 300 million, you guys aren't even near the top of who's getting what under that agreement. It's so top heavy to Madrid and Barcelona again.
Yeah. And the whole thing also, they're saying, oh, this is going to be played on a Tuesday and Wednesday night, this European Super League. I'm calling bullshit on that, because you know when the best TV ratings are? When everyone can watch it, weekends. They'll start on a Tuesday and Wednesday. A couple of years down the line, when they've got more teams coming into it and the product's getting bigger, then there'll be a big shift and they'll move to the weekends. Guarantee you.
What you'll get is you'll get the games being played at stupid times midweek to cater for the American market, the Chinese market, the Asian market. You know what I mean?
All these emerging markets.
We'll have an empty stadium.
Yeah, so you won't be a traditional 3 o'clock on a Saturday or an 8 o'clock on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. You'll end up being, I don't know, Thursday morning at 11 o'clock, because that's when 300 million Chinese people can watch it.
And as a week in, week out going fan, kickoff times matter. I love, there's nothing better than a Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff. Unbelievable. Have a bit of a line.
It's traditional.
Yeah. You can get to the pubs, have a few drinks before, have a few drinks after. It's just every game's going on at that time. So
it's the equivalent of the midday Sunday kickoff in the NFL, isn't it?
Yeah, for the Saints, yeah.
Except the next day is Sunday for you. Yeah, and that situation, it's like LSU football in the afternoons.
Yes, yeah, exactly that. So it's your 4 o'clock LSU kickoff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't want to be having to, as a fan, 7 o'clock, now they're doing these 7 o'clock in the evening games on a Sunday. Really? I want to be going into London for 7 o'clock in the evening the day before I go back to work. Yes, I'm a fan. Of course, I will go, but fuck me. Just for the TV.
So on that, right, game at 7 o'clock, you get home at what? 11, half 11 after a 7 o'clock game?
Yeah, 11, half 11, because a European night, because at 8 o'clock I get home for about half 12. Then my alarm goes off at 6 a.m. to go to work.
and you live relatively close to London.
it takes me just under an hour to get into, you've been in mine and we've gone into London. It takes just under an hour to get to London.
Yeah.
fair, but it's fucking stinks.
Yeah,
I hate it. I hate it.
I think from the three of us, you know, it runs along with the universal condemnation of the plans. And I think all three of us agree that we really, really hope that this doesn't go ahead. And, you know, the six clubs, specifically in the Premier League, come back to the Premier League with their tail between their legs, begging for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I hope the Premier League to fuck off and put some sort of sanction on them. And I want a sanction put on my club. That is where it's
got. That is true.
Dock us points. For
his sanction on his own club.
Dock us points.
It's amazing.
Do something.
Yeah.
Because this cannot be allowed.
Look, I think, you know, for the listeners that listen to this, I think you can probably tell, if you didn't already know, it's quite an emotive subject. And I don't think we've heard the end of it. And I suspect that we may need to revisit this in a couple of weeks if there's a new proposal, or there's confirmation that it's going ahead, or teams start having sanctions placed against them, or kicked out of leagues, or Champions League and UEFA Cup. So I definitely think this is something that the three of us will get back together for and chew the fat over again.
Mm. Yeah, I've got one final thing before we go. And I think that those six clubs should remember this quote by the late, great David Rowcastle. Remember who you are and what you are and who you represent. That's all from me.
Nice. Nice. I didn't realise that was a Rocky quote, mate. I didn't realise that Rowcastle had said that.
He'd be turning in his grave.
Yeah. Yeah, he would. He would. Right. That's it for the Premier League podcast this week. Gunn, thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on. It's a pleasure to talk to you as always.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was a real joy to be here. And if we reconvene in a few weeks, I'll be more than happy to come back, man. I'm very excited.
Yeah, no, definitely get you back on. So yeah, that's it for the Premier League podcast today. Thanks for checking us out. I don't know the end script for the podcasts we have, but so I can say that, you know, follow us on all social media at Dome Patrol PCast on Twitter. Dome Patrol UK, Gunn, you're at Taking the Over. BSMB and Media, I think, is Dave Romero's. I'm not sure what Scott's Twitter at is. I should really write this down for when I'm hosting.
At Tiger's Den, I think.
Is it at Tiger's Den? But yeah, so check us all out. You know, we've got a very, very special Dome Patrol podcast show coming up next Thursday night.
Yeah.
It is the Dome Patrol virtual draft party.
It's going to be late night for you guys, huh? Early morning.
It's going to be very, very late. I've booked the day off work, Gunn, so I'm off work on Friday.
Good.
So I won't be there.
Basically, there's going to be Dome Patrol, as many Dome Patrol current members as we can get on, the show. And basically, we're going to live stream us watching the draft, getting drunk and, well, probably getting high, I would imagine, for some people too.
Perhaps, maybe.
Treat
every day like a holiday, James.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, check us out. That'll be live streaming on Facebook. We'll be tweeting and putting it out on social media as we get up close to it. But we did it last year, and it was really, really good fun. We were streaming for about 5 hours, and it was really good fun. So come and check it out and join in the fun.
She take my money, well, I'm in need. Yes, she's a trifling friend indeed. Oh, she's a gold digger way over town that digs on me. She give me money.
Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas. Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Salon with a baby Louis Vuitton under her underarm. She said, I could tell you rock, I could tell by your charm. Fars girls, you got a flock, I could tell by your charm and your arm. But I'm looking for the one, have you seen her? My psychic told me she have an ass like Serena, Trina, Gina for Lopez. 4 kids, and I gotta take all they badass to show biz. Okay, get your kids, but then they got their friends. I pulled up in the Benz, they all got a pin. We all went to den, and then I had to pay. If you fucking with this girl, then you better be paid. You know why? take too much to touch her. From what I heard, she got a baby by Buster. My best friend said she used to fuck with Usher. I don't care what none of y'all say, I still love her. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead. 18 years, 18 years. She got one of your kids, got you for 18 years. I know somebody paying child support for one of his kids. His baby mama car crib is bigger than his. You will see him on TV any given Sunday. Win a Super Bowl and drive off in a Hyundai. She was supposed to buy your shorty Tyco with your money. She went to the doctor, got lipo with your money. She walk around looking like Michael with your money. Should've got that insured Geico for your money. Money. If you ain't no punk, holla, we want prenup. We want prenup, yeah. It's something that you need to have. Cause when she leave your ass, she gon' leave with half. 18 years, 18 years. And on her 18th birthday, found out it wasn't his. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas, Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas, Get down, girl, gon' head, get down, Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down, get down, girl, go ahead. Now I ain't saying you a gold digger, you got knees. You don't want a dude to smoke, but he can't buy weed. You go out to eat, he can't pay, y'all can't leave. His dishes in the back, you gotta roll up your sleeves. But while y'all washing, watch him. He gon' make it to a beans out of that toxin. He got that ambition, baby. Look at his eyes. This week he mopping floors, next week is the fries. So stick by his side. I know his dudes ballin', and yeah, that's nice. And they gon' keep calling and trying, but you stay right, girl. And when he get on, he leave your ass for a white girl. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead. Let me hear that back.